Boy, do I have a treat for you. I'm in a fun mood tonight. It's a Sunday night. It's nice and cozy. I do not even have any notes in front of me, so I'm just going to be talking off of what my brain is thinking, which honestly is very dangerous with me. Very, very dangerous. This could potentially be a very chaotic episode. Guys, welcome to Girls Gone Healthy. If you're new here, I sit and I talk about all the things that make me mad in the nutrition and fitness industry that people get wrong. So basically, I'm taking out my anger with this podcast. In addition, I talk through all things fitness, health, how to live a healthy lifestyle, wellness, but wellness the right way, wellness trends and things that actually do work and do have science backed up behind them, which I think is really important. I think it's so easy to get caught up in what social media tells us, and there's so much misinformation out there, even old science, because you guys know, like, science is ever changing and we're constantly figuring out more conclusions as time goes on, because obviously data is ever changing as well. So it's my kind of job to keep up with all of the new trends and the new things that are up and coming and the things that are correct versus not. But then in addition, I feel like a lot of people can get lost in the old news that is, you know, fitness and health. And last week, I remember I covered, or 2 weeks ago, I would do bi-weekly podcast episodes now, but 2 weeks ago, I covered a whole ton of myths. Oh my gosh, I went through so many things and I used science-backed data to back every single one of the claims that I was making. And it was honestly really fun. I think I want to do another episode just like that very soon. Because a lot of things in the last couple of weeks I've been covering just with my friends and with my clients, because I do online coaching. That's my main source of job. That's my career. And so obviously I'm always talking through a whole ton of things that clients might believe to be true because it's just old news. One of those things that I've talked about in the past couple weeks is, you know, eating protein right after your workout, because it was kind of like a myth a while ago that if you don't down a protein shake directly after you hit your workout, then you're not going to build muscle and you have a protein window after your workout. And it's just not true. You really just have to focus on the amount of protein that you're hitting throughout the day. From what I know, particularly, that is what I've read up on. I remember when I was in college, I thought that I had to down a protein shake right after my workout, because obviously I was uneducated. This was before I even started my career. And I got on the bus every single morning to go back to my room, and I drank a Vega 1 protein shake, chocolate vegan protein powder, and it tasted like absolute cow butt. And now every single time I smell vegan protein powder, I think right back to those days when I quite literally almost made myself throw up because of the protein powder that I was downing. If you are a girl who wants to get fit, who wants to get healthy, who has either goals to shred up or to just have a lifestyle change and be a healthiest version of yourself, or even to put on muscle, this is going to be the episode for you. I remember I started everything one random Thursday in the middle of March or February or whatever it was, in the middle of winter. I remember I just hit rock bottom. I had gained 50 pounds coming out of a job that I really didn't like. I've told my story on this podcast before, so if you haven't heard that one episode, you should listen to it, especially if it's something that you've dealt with too, in terms of going through a health and fitness journey where you have, you know, reached rock bottom in the sense of having maybe eating disorder tendencies or an actual eating disorder, in addition to maybe massive weight gain and wanting to take the weight off or wanting to gain weight, either one. That would be an episode that you should listen to, because I've been through both journeys, which I think is something that's really special about my story. And I think it's what really helps me now in my career as a coach. I feel like I can empathize with a lot of different girls from different walks of life, but I'm kind of digressing. When it comes to my weight gain, after I put on unhealthy weight gain, so I had the eating disorder, I gained like a good amount of weight healthily, and then ultimately a while later I had a job and I didn't really have any breaks on that job. It was kind of managed a little bit poorly, and so basically what happened was, what you probably are thinking. I didn't have any breaks, so I wouldn't eat. And then when I would get home, I would be ravenous. And I would go through periods of not eating and then periods of eating everything. And that was just natural. It wasn't because of anything that I was doing to sabotage myself. But leading up to that, I had really bad eating behaviors anyways. And I kind of had the same type of tendencies, just not as extreme. And then I gained the 50 pounds or whatever the heck it was. And I just hit rock bottom. I was like, nothing feels good in my body anymore. I can't even wear my own sweatpants. I remember, oh my gosh, I'm actually opening like doors into my memory with these thoughts and these stories. But I remember that I put on sweatpants, or like I tried to make myself look somewhat presentable, but I naturally just looked absolutely awful because of the state that I was in. I was so sad, so not in the right headspace, and nothing fit my body anymore, you guys, like nothing did. And so I had to go to work with kind of just like leggings and whatever fit, and my boss literally sent me home, and she was like, she pretty much just said, you look like trash, like you have to go home. And I remember getting sent home that day, and I was like, that's when I hit rock bottom, because I just felt so terrible in my body. And I was like, I can't wear anything else because I don't own anything else that fits my current state right now. So then I went out and I thrifted blazers, and I wore a freaking blazer to my coffee shop job just to rub it in their face. Hated how I looked, but I did it anyway. And then I worked my butt off for 6 to 12 months, and I really went tunnel vision. And this is when I learned all the things that I'm going to teach you guys today. And again, if you're a beginner, if you're intermediate, if you're advanced in the gym, you could probably learn something from this, because these are just things that, you know, as a gym beginner, you should know stepping into the gym, things that I wish I knew. The first thing that I would say is that you should not compare, and this is kind of obvious, but you should really not compare what your body is going to look like to anybody else. So when I stepped into the gym, I was like, ugh, I want to walk out of here looking Chrissy Chella herself. And look, it's one thing to have inspiration and one thing to be like, oh, I really appreciate how she built her delts, or she built this, or she did that. And I really love how she's able to rep out pull-ups and do this. Like, those are inspirational thoughts, right? Where you're kind of, you know, inching towards wanting to achieve a goal that somebody else has already achieved. That is totally awesome. Like, even if you're wanting to lose weight and get healthy, it's really great to take inspiration from people who have already done so, because you know it's possible. But it's another thing to want to actually look like the other person, you know, kind of inch by inch, because then you're not your own fitness inspo. And let me tell you something, as like the wise owl that I feel like I am with this topic, is that when you are tunnel vision, so basically I'm just going to give you guys the short form of the story. I signed on with a coach. This is when like the passion started, and I developed a really incredible macro split. I tracked my protein, made sure that I was getting enough every single day, was very diligent about it, learned a lot of self-control, learned a lot about nutrition in general, about the foods that I'm eating. And also, you guys, I actually was eating a little bit more throughout the day, which is, you know, newsflash, it was just so much healthier because I was able to actually eat lunch. But anyways, I was very diligent about my macro tracking. I got 10K steps a day, and I went to the gym 3 to 4 times a week. That was it at first. It was the simplest plan ever. But I was just every single day doing the same things, repetitiveness, and not even to perfection either. I was just repeating. And what happened was, you see, I saw a little bit of progress, took a gym photo every single now and then to see how I looked, compared it to the other, saw a little bit, you know, in my stomach, saw a little bit here and there. And then one day, months later, it was like I woke up and overnight something had happened. And I saw a quote earlier today, and it really made me think about, this is like what sparked me to want to do this podcast tonight instead of the other night that I had anticipated doing it, because I was just thinking about this. And the quote says something along the lines of, if something's going to change overnight, it's just going to take months for you to get to that night. And not that that's actually how it works, but you do have to understand that every single workout is a deposit. Every single workout is like you going to the ATM or the bank and putting $5 in the bank, and it's gonna take a while for you to get to that 10K savings mark, right? But $5 every single day is gonna get you there eventually. It's just gonna take a second. So that's kind of the same way of thinking that I like to do with fitness and with all of that. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. And also, once you have that overnight kind of like, oh, what happened? What shifted? Where you kind of just wake up and you realize all the changes that are occurring. That's the kind of the best way to put it. Then you become your own inspo. And then you can see what you are capable of. And then when you can see what you are capable of, you stop comparing yourself to other people. And that is really the healthiest way to go about it. If you have any sort of goal, that's the first thing that I would say before you get into anything else. You're going to start there. The second thing that I would say for you, if you want to lose weight and you are getting yourself in the gym, and this goes for you too, if you have any other goal other than weight loss, but you know, people say it, but not a lot of people take action on it. Nutrition is the most important thing in the entire world. And I will say it on the rooftops every single day of my life. I will not stop. This is a hill that I will die on. If your nutrition is out of line, you will be out of line. If your nutrition is out of line, your performance will be out of line. You will not be able to perform the way that you want in the gym. You will not sleep the way that you want and the way that you should in order for your goals to appear. You will not have the same kind of energy, and you will probably lack in major, major components of your diet. That's just the bottom line. I really can't say it any other way. So if you are trying to lose weight, we all know, blah, 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 calorie deficit. I've said it a million times before, but you should really prioritize nutrient timing. And this goes for even people who want to maintain their weight, people who want to even put on muscle. Nutrient timing is huge. And basically what this means is that you are kind of timing out your meals around your workout and around what you are doing for the day. So this could even apply to people who are like shift workers and stuff too. Let me just explain. So let's say you have a 9-to-5 remote job. I'm going to create like a couple hypotheticals. You have a 9-to-5 remote job and you have time between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. to do your workout. You're going to wake up at your normal like whatever, 7, 8 a.m. time, whatever it is. You're going to do your work for a little bit, and then 30 minutes to an hour before your workout, you are going to eat your first meal or your pre-workout meal. This could be even your second meal if you like to have breakfast earlier on. But because our gym session is at 10:30 a.m., we are going to eat our first meal at 10 a.m. or maybe even 9:45 to 9:30. Now, the question is, what are we eating? Please keep in mind that if you eat like a spoonful of peanut butter, that's going to make you act a lot different and perform a lot different than if you ate a piece of bread with banana. Why? Because the piece of bread with banana holds A, natural sugars from the banana, which breaks down into glucose and breaks down into energy in our body. Same with the bread. Bread breaks down, you know, carbs, glucose, energy. Our body thrives off of carbs as energy. It's our first source of energy. It's what our body thrives to survive off of. And our body, it's not optimal for it to burn fat as energy. Eating that banana and piece of bread, you know, 30 minutes before a workout, that's perfect. That's a simple carb. And simple carbs just mean that they digest a little bit faster in your body than complex carbs. Simple carbs have less fiber in them typically. So a complex carb is something that's, you know, rice, oatmeal, like things that hold more fiber in them. So they're going to digest a little bit slower in your body. That's kind of just like rule of thumb, how you can think of it. Eating a simple carb before your workout is seriously the best way to do it. And then after your workout, or even before your workout too, you can add a little bit of protein just for satiation. So you're not like starving during your workout, but after your workout, you want to refuel your glycogen stores. That's a fancy term for eat more carbs. So you're going to refuel the glycogen, like the glycogen that you just released in the gym, releasing your energy. But then you're going to eat protein. It is important to eat that after your workout. And then you're going to eat a little bit of fat. That's what you're eating after your workout. It could be anywhere between directly after, a couple of hours after. There's probably updated data to suggest what timing window you should eat your post-workout meal, but as long as it's within a couple of hours, it's totally good. Just don't go hours and hours without eating, because, you know, obviously that's going to bite you in the butt later. So that's my first tip, or my second tip, I guess, when it comes to being in the gym as a beginner. Please time out your food and when you're going to eat. Not so rigidly, because then you're just coming into the territory of like intermittent fasting and like only allowing yourself to eat at certain times. But that's definitely the biggest thing. And I would honestly say that that is one of the most important things that you can focus on. If you're trying to lose weight, obviously calorie deficit, and then plus doing that, you're going to be in for a really successful trip down your fitness lane, pretty much. One other thing that I will say, somebody told me in the very beginning, which actually somebody did tell me this in the very beginning, I saw it on social media. I think it was actually my coach that posted it. And this might, you know, ruffle some feathers, but I think that there was like a girl or somebody that asked her, why do girls specifically don't look like they have as much progress in the gym as guys do? And like, obviously there are so many reasons behind this, and it goes way into the anatomy between a man and a woman and how easy it is for a man to build muscle versus a woman. But what my coach responded with, which I absolutely do agree with, is that girls don't train hard a lot of the times, and a lot of guys don't either. I'm not saying that it's like this is just a girl's thing, but you guys, you gotta be willing. You have got to be willing to push past your limits. And I wish somebody told me this in the very beginning. When you get comfortable with a weight, you're gonna increase that weight. It's not gonna make you bulky. You're gonna be fine. You're going to push past that limit that you even thought you could get to. You're going to push past that mental limit as well. Train with intensity. If you really do think about it, every single gym session, if you think of it as a training session, you are training for something. That is what's going to get you to a place of pushing past that mental block that you thought that you had. Your body is so much more capable than we give it credit for. Our minds are what really just gets in the middle. And I learned this a lot when I picked up running. With lifting, I've noticed that you can really only push yourself as hard as you want. And this is my next thing that I wish somebody told me. A workout is only as hard as you make it. If your coach gives you a workout and it kind of just looks easy and you breeze through it, that's your fault. That is not their fault. It is your fault for not taking what they gave you and pushing yourself to your limit, increasing that weight, making sure that you're following tempo, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, there is such thing as coaches who just give out crap programming, but a workout is only as hard as you make it. And when I picked up running, I realized this to the nth degree, because with running, you're doing one thing the entire time. Of course, there are so many variables that go into it, how you're breathing, how you're, you know, how, what your pacing is like, how big your steps are, etc., like your strides, all that. You are doing one thing and one thing only, and that is run. With lifting, it is very easy to let our minds win and to kind of just breeze our way through. But with running, since it's like it is endurance for the most part, if you're doing distance running and you're forced to push past it, you can't stop, you do realize how much our mind like messes with us. But once you push past that mental block, you will realize how much your body is capable of. Our bodies are capable of so much. And girls, if your body is capable of developing and carrying a baby for 9 months, I think you're capable of squatting more than you did last week. I think you're capable of shoulder pressing 30 pounds. I think you're capable of doing a pull-up. You're capable of all of these things. It's just the matter of A, prioritizing it, B, being strategic with how you're planning it all out, C, your nutrition. There are variables to it, but you can do it. And if you push past your mental block, you're gonna get there. It's gonna happen. Gym anxiety is one thing that I will say, I don't know if I actually had it in the beginning, but I can understand it. Every now and then when I see a new gym or go to a new gym, I do feel anxiety. I went to Gold's Gym Venice, which is where Arnold Schwarzenegger trains himself, and I felt terrified because I went there all alone. But at the same time, it also felt like a home because, you know, gyms kind of feel like home to me. But when you walk into a place filled of ripped people, and you don't necessarily feel your shreddedest at the moment. I believe I felt quite fluffy actually at that time. I was like, I don't belong here. But gym anxiety is a real thing. So let me tell you what you should do if you feel gym anxiety. And you can feel it for a myriad of reasons. The one could be the people. You know, people are intimidating. I will give you that. People can act intimidating. But you know what's so crazy? A gym is filled with mirrors for one reason and one reason only. So the egotistical people who are already egotistical could just become bigger-headed, more egotistical people. So people are there looking at themselves, pumping themselves up, hyping themselves up, making their heads bigger. It's just kind of the truth. People don't care about you. Like, you're not that important to them. I'm sorry. You're just not. It's not that deep. I think that if you just walked into the gym, you so confidently with your bag, your big fat Stanley water bottle that's the size of Haiti, and you went over to that squat rack, you put everything down, slap on a 45 pounder and started squatting, nobody will look at you. Even if you did a freaking backflip and started somersaulting to your squat, nobody's gonna look at you. And if I can film in the gym, you guys can get to the gym and you'll be fine. You'll be good. You can do your workout. But if you do walk in and you're like, ugh, this is terrifying, these people are scary, blah blah blah, this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna start on the treadmill. This is the biggest tip that I can give you. Start on the treadmill, scope out the gym. That is so key. And then you're going to get comfortable there. Also, go at the same time every single day. If you go at the same time every day, you're going to see the same people. So you're going to become more accustomed to them. It's going to feel a little bit more homey. Third thing is to always start at the same spot. So even if it's not the treadmill, start at the little stretching area, but near the mats, and then go to the next place. Have a plan and a plan B. If you don't go in with a plan, then you're going to feel absolutely lost. And honestly, I feel this too. If you're looking around for something, figuring out what you need to do next, first of all, it doesn't sound like you have a very good program in place and you're probably going nowhere. But when it comes to feeling anxiety, this is the way to do it, you know? So gym anxiety is a total normal thing, but just rest assured, nobody really cares about you that much. You're totally good. If you are walking into the gym and you don't know what to bring with you, okay, I'm gonna give you my little gym bag tour. Although sometimes I do go a little bit unprepared as well, it's totally cool. So if I'm doing legs, I'm wearing a flat footed shoe. Why? Because we need balance, baby. When you are squatting, you need all four corners of your feet to be planted on the ground. If you are, you know, split squatting, lunging, same goes. So if you're doing leg day, please wear a flat footed shoe. But if you're planning on walking at all, bring a sneaker with you. So you have that support. So that's the first thing. Second thing, claw clips always. Hairbands if I need it, but mostly claw clips. But if I'm doing an upper body day, hairbands are the wave, and braids, because if I'm going to be lying on a bench, a claw clip on the bench does not feel good when you're lying down. So there's that. Sometimes I bring an extra pair of socks just in case. I bring band-aids as well, because you never know when a nail break is going to happen. Pads, tampons, duh, for obvious reasons. Deodorant, obviously. 2, lip gloss, because you never know when chapped lips are going to happen. You want to feel cute. If you feel cute in the gym, it is scientifically proven that you will be lifting the more weight, okay? I said what I said. A big fat water bottle, again, like I said before, the size of Haiti. AirPods, of course, if you have any backups, that's ideal, but who has 2 sets of headphones? I don't. And then I also have lifting straps. So if you have really bad grip, like I feel like a lot of people do, I don't have really great grip right now especially, there are these things called lifting straps. You can look them up on Amazon, but basically they're just these straps that loop around your hand and then you can loop around the barbell. If you do it correctly, then this will help your grip significantly and you will be able to lift so much more weight. So if you have bad grip, you should totally do this. And also if you're learning pull-ups, using lifting straps on the bar is going to help you so much at first, especially with eccentric pull-ups. So that's definitely something that I also bring into the gym. Also, a barbell pad is really good to bring into the gym as well, because not all gyms have good ones. And if they do have them, they're sometimes hard to find, and it's annoying because then you're getting in people's business trying to find them near where they are, and it's just this whole mess. So bringing a barbell pad is really awesome as well. Obviously, if you're squatting heavy, 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 then bring a belt and stuff like that. But now we're getting into territory where it's kind of niche. So everything that I stated, those are the things you're going to need. Bring a cute gym bag too. Invest in a good one, because honestly, this is going to really boost your confidence, your outfit, your gym bag, your music, all of the things do really play a role. And the pregame to a gym session is honestly really important. If I am sitting in the car and I'm listening to some depressing podcast, maybe you're about to go into the gym right now and you're listening to this podcast and you're like, maybe I should turn this off. No, but if I'm listening to like a depressing podcast, it's kind of just like blah, not really good energy. Or if I'm listening to sad music that doesn't have a lot of energy either, I will not have a good gym session. I will not. I need to pregame it with songs that make me feel good. And this is another tip. You should listen to nostalgic music. Listening to Bruno Mars, for me, he's nostalgia. Like, literally definition nostalgia. If I don't feel like having a gym session, I will go ahead and I will listen to all of his songs. You will catch me dancing in the gym, maybe even doing cartwheels. It gets me so hype. It's honestly hard to even fathom. So listening to songs that just hype you up and make you feel good, that is huge. In terms of how to know what you're supposed to be doing in the gym. So let's get into this a little bit of programming, how to structure a workout. So the first thing that I will say is that, you know, I always say this on my TikTok, if you have an electrical issue, you're not going to go and look it up on your phone unless it's very, 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 very simple and figure out how to do it yourself. You're going to call an electrician. The same goes for if you want to be a certain way, have a certain goal, achieve that goal. You should not just look up a Pinterest workout and think that that's going to solve your life's problems. You should look up a coach and you should hire a coach for the time being and learn from that person, because one way to learn is to learn from people who have experience and who have spent, you know, years and so much money actually pouring into the art of training, which honestly, if you know anything about program design, it is kind of an art. So that will also give you a little bit more confidence when you get into the gym. And honestly, I think a little bit more confidence comes from an online coach. I am biased. I am an online coach. But I will say, when I first started everything, I was like, I don't want to get a personal trainer because I'm going to feel awkward going into the gym with somebody following me around. And I feel like that's more of a recipe for people staring at you, honestly, like a human being telling me what to do. And then they're staring at me, the personal trainer, and I just feel awkward all the time. Like, I don't like that. So I think that we, you know, as a society who puts comfort in our phones, and when we feel awkward, we look at our screens, we should just lean into that a little bit and get an online coach. And so this actually did solve my life's problems, because now I'm walking in with a program and knowing exactly what I'm supposed to do on my phone. So people could think that I'm a professional. You don't know, but it's all on my phone. It's all right there. I have video explanations of everything that I'm doing, written explanations of everything that I'm doing. If I need any help, I can ask my online coach right then and there, and she will help me. It is a perfect solution. You feel confident. Oh, this mic is being obnoxious. So that will seriously help so much. But if you're wanting to know how to structure a workout, I'm going to give you a little cheat sheet right here. So when it comes to like a basic lift, there are so many ways to go about it, and there's so much that goes into it. I'm not even going to be scratching the surface a little bit when it comes to this explanation, but to make things simple, typically you start with a exercise that targets multiple parts of your body. So that's why you see a lot of squats being done at the beginning of a workout, because squats aren't just targeting your quads, let's say. Squats are using your back, your quads, your glutes, everything, your entire core, which your core is more than just your abs, by the way, you guys. It's also your back and part of your glutes and all that kind of stuff. So you are starting with a exercise that uses multiple muscle groups. This is called a compound exercise. We're getting a little lesson today. So you're going to start with that. In terms of reps and how much you should be doing, this varies. It depends on the program, depends on the workout, and depends on your goals, for the most part. If you are working out and trying to train for endurance, this is going to be a lot different than somebody who is training for strength. For somebody who is training for hypertrophy, this is also going to look a little bit different, which, if you don't know what hypertrophy means, it's a fancy term for building muscle. It's what trainers like to use when they want to feel smarter than everybody. So yeah, starting out with a compound lift, and then you would probably get into a little bit more of specific muscle group lifts. So for instance, what I would do if I'm wanting to do a workout that targets full legs, but with an emphasis on glutes. I'm just going to create a workout for you. We'll start with a low bar squat, which means that it's a squat, but instead of putting the bar a little bit higher on the shoulders, you're going to be putting the bar a little bit more down on the shoulder blades. This calls for a different kind of form correction where your chest is going to be more upright. Therefore, you're going to be using a little bit less quads a little bit less quads and a little bit more glutes. At least that's what you're going to feel. There's going to be a little bit less knee flexion, tiny, tiny, tiny bit. So I'll start with that. Maybe I'll do a rep progression depending on who you are. If it's for a hypertrophy client, like a general population client too, maybe it'll be like 4 sets. First set will be 12 reps. Second set will be 10. Third set will be 8. Last set will be 12 again. Rest for 2 to 3 minutes in between, and then moving on to the next exercise, I might do something like hip thrusts. Hip thrusts are a great exercise that targets your glute maximus, which is the largest glute muscle. And I might do 3 to 4 sets of that as well. Maybe doing my 5-5-5-5 method, which is absolutely disgusting, but it's basically where you do like 5 normal reps, 5 1 1/4 reps, 5 cast glute bridges, which is just a 1/4 rep, and then a 5-second hold. Nasty. You should try it. And then I might go into something like Bulgarian split squats. I might go into something. So now we're getting into more specific biased areas. We're specifically biasing the glute maximus. We're specifically biasing the glutes in now a lengthened position, which is what Bulgarian split squat is. Then I might go into leg extensions, which is specifically biasing the quads. So you see kind of how we go from bigger, 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 medium, 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 smaller, smaller, smaller. And at the very end, I typically always will do abs of some sort. And yeah, so the structure of a workout can vary drastically, but typically the hardest lift is going to be at the very beginning, the one that is most exhausting. Putting squats at the end of the workout probably won't make much sense because you're going to be extremely fatigued. You want to do that one at the very beginning because it's your strongest. So there is something to be said too about the second that you get underneath the barbell, the second that you continuously step into the gym, it gets easier. It does not get harder, honestly. It doesn't. And then when it comes to being in the workout, it's not that workouts themselves get easier, but you get stronger and you get more confident in what you're doing. And it becomes a fun game of how much can I lift today? How much can I push myself? And also, if you feel uncomfortable in a gym, that's going to play a part in your workout. And I seriously do think there's something to be said about shopping around at your gyms and making sure that you're at one that feels right. If the people don't feel right, if the atmosphere isn't right, if you feel like you're working out in a dungeon when you want something that's a little bit more natural lighting, like that's going to play a role. If you can't zone out there, if you feel uncomfortable there, I went to one gym when I was back in Jersey and it was a cool gym. It was like a very industrial gym and I really, really liked it. But for some reason, every single time I went there, I was like, there's something a tiny bit off here. And I never really felt like it was my home gym. And it sounds so stupid, but honestly, I really do think that it's important to feel like your gym is kind of like your second home and you feel safe there. And I just wasn't feeling that. So I had to stop the membership and I just went to my other one. But shopping around for a gym should not be a bad thing. If somebody refuses to give you a day pass, you should push them on it because you really do deserve to look at all your options and feel comfortable at your gym. Go with a friend too. If you have a friend who's into workouts, into working out, go with a friend and try to work out with a friend. Book a class pass. That's actually how I went to my gym that I'm going to right now in Orange County. I started by booking a class there. I think it was like a yoga sculpt class, and I did that and I looked around at the gym and I just had myself a time, and it was like a little date to myself. It was quite nice, actually. Other than that, I think things to remember when it comes to an actual workout is to always do some form of dynamic stretching beforehand. This doesn't have to be crazy. I just like to warm up my hips specifically. I like to warm up my knees specifically. And I like to do a feeder set, which just means a warm-up set. So if I'm squatting, I like to do just a warm-up weight on that for a set or two and then go into my working set. So that's also something to note. And also, people make fun of bodybuilders because they have no mobility, but that's mostly because that people are stupid and they forget to stretch. So maybe you should just try stretching after your workout so that way you don't become one of those people who have a lot of meat on your bones, but you have no mobility. Just make sure you can always touch your toes. That's what I'm trying to say. Now I know why I make notes, because I feel like I'm all over the place. This is kind of fun. Also, if you do have a kid, I don't have a kid, but when I do have a kid, I will be going to a gym that either I will be making sure that I'm going when my husband can take care of the kid, or I'll be going to a gym that has daycare, depending on the vibe of the gym, making sure that it's going to be obviously like thoroughly checking to make sure that I'm okay with leaving my kid there for an hour. But, rest assured, there are so many ways that you can make it work. I even know of girls that they do CrossFit specifically, but they do like the free gym area in the CrossFit and they just bring their kid with them. And then they can do that because it's not like a public gym. So you could do that with private gyms for sure. And the last thing that I want to say too is just walk in feeling confident. If you're walking in with a baggy t-shirt on, messy bun, no makeup, you have unmatching socks on, you haven't showered for 3 days, all you had is coffee that morning, barely even hanging on by a thread, you look like you got 4 hours of sleep because you got 4 hours of sleep and you didn't even try to put yourself together, there's a reason why your workout's gonna suck. Don't blame anything if that's you walking into the gym. Put yourself together. Wear something that you feel confident in, but you're comfortable in. Do something with your hair. I'm not saying you have to blow it out for the gym, but do something with it. Even put on a little bit of makeup. Don't knock the girls that put makeup on for the gym. Truly, this is so important for me, at least. First of all, the people at my gym are just kind of put together people, so I want to match that energy, and I think that it has made my workouts better. I'm not kidding. It's like what Whitney Simmons says. And I think a lot of people say it too, but I think of her when I say this, is that if you feel cute, you are going to lift more. Look good, lift good. And just remember that everybody starts somewhere too. What my starting point was is not going to be what your starting point is. It's kind of like if you and I were to run a mile right now at our fastest pace, your fast pace is going to be different than my fast pace. And that is just how life works. When you get to the gym, I remember I had this video of me, I think I was barbell rowing, and I put 2.5 pound plates on each side. This was in the very beginning. 2.5 pound plates on each side. And I was mortified because this guy came up next to me, did the same exercise. He put like, I forget how many plates, but I think it was, he was rowing at least, I feel like he put on 3 plates, but I could be remembering it so wrong. And maybe he wasn't even doing that kind of exercise. But either way, he came on next to me. He stacked up his bar. And I was there with my measly little 2.5 pound weights. And I felt mortified in myself. But I was like, okay, wait, this is like a 50-year-old man that I'm comparing myself to, first of all, right now. But I was just like, I want to be stronger. But you just have to remember that you are starting somewhere completely different than somebody else is starting. And your starting place is not your ending place. And that is only the truth if you make it the truth. If you every single week make it a promise to yourself that you're going to challenge yourself more than you did last week, then you will get to a place that you didn't even know was possible. So that was really everything that I had to say. I don't even know if I said anything helpful. I don't even remember what I was talking about, but I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, leave a review, leave a rating, let me know what you want to hear in future episodes. And other than that, if you want to hear more random rambling on my social media pages, I do that a lot. And I actually have a really fun time doing it. So if you want to join along for the crazy ride, you can do so and look up my TikTok and Instagram, both at Emily Mazzone. I will put it in the show notes. Other than that, I hope you guys have an amazing week. Get in the gym, wear something cute, drink an Alani, but check it for rats. If you know, you know. And I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. See you next week on Girls Gone Healthy.